This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Now, last week, Ed Sheeran stood up and hugged his team after jurors ruled that he independently created his song Thinking Out Loud and did not copy Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Well, what does the Ed Sheeran case tell us about popular music and the implication on inspiration and creativity when writing songs? Well, J.D. O'Regan is a lecturer in contemporary music at Sydney Conservatorium of Music. J.D., welcome to Joy Drive.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
J.D., before we talk about the Ed Sheeran case, how common are copyright cases in the pop music industry?
They've definitely been part, like, the whole way through pop music's history. Because it's, like, songs are so important to their writers and they make so much money if it's a real big hit, so you definitely want to be sure that you're getting all of the royalties that you're entitled to, essentially. But there's been heaps of really famous cases. You might remember one from the 90s was the Verve's Bittersweet Symphony, which was that band was sued by the Rolling Stones, and it was only until relatively earlier this year that those rights were returned to the Verve from the Rolling Stones. I think they had 20 years or 25 years of taking those royalties from that one song. A couple of years ago, there was a very contentious case with the estate of Marvin Gaye about Blurred Lines, which was a single by Robin Thicke, which was written by him and Pharrell Williams, and they lost, and the Marvin Gaye estate won, and they were had to pay $5.3 million in restitution to the Marvin Gaye estate because that track was deemed to be too similar to a Marvin Gaye song called Got to Get It Up. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been part of it. Radiohead's been done. The Beatles have been done. The Beach Boys have been done. It's all the biggest bands have probably had something contentious happen like this.
J.D., how can a songwriter, though, be sure that, you know, their song doesn't sound similar to previous work? Like, surely we can't expect artists to know every pop song that's ever released.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so hard about these kinds of cases. There's no one way to really think, oh, you know, an alarm's gone off and I've got, you know, 85% of this song or this melody and that kind of thing. And I think that's why we're never really sure how these court cases are going to go. They're very, you know, they could be decided either way, depending on the jury and depending on the testimony that's presented in the court. So a lot of those earlier music copyright cases, they were based on melody and lyrics. If those things were deemed to be too similar, then usually you would have a case. However, the law drags behind how pop music actually works these days. So we know that what makes a song unique isn't just the melody and the lyrics, it's the rhythm, the beats, the samples, all of that sort of stuff. So I think the law is still grappling with how we make pop music sometimes.
Tell us about the Ed Sheeran case. How did that come about?
Yeah, this has been an interesting one. It's been going through the courts for a number of years, and it was brought by the estate of Ed Townsend, who was the co-writer of that song with Marvin Gaye. And they deemed that, well, they were trying to argue that Ed Sheeran's song, Thinking Out Loud, was too close to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. And the main part of that complaint was about the chord progression. They were trying to argue that Ed Sheeran used the same chord progression that was very similar to the Marvin Gaye song and therefore breached copyright.
So that's
the heart of the case, yeah.
If we have a little listen to these two songs, what should we be listening out for?
Have a listen to that. Like, even if you don't know what chords are or you're not sure what a chord progression is, listen to the way that the music kind of goes upward, because it's a little progression of four chords and it goes up the scale from 1 to 3 to 4 and 5, and you can hear it in those chords. So listen for the guitars.
Okay, let's have a listen to Ed Sheeran first.
Yeah.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70.
Okay, we've got that in our heads. Jadie, yep. Shall we have a listen to Marvin Gaye? Okay, here we go.
Always.
I mean, as I'm playing them, I'm thinking to myself, I'm singing Ed Sheeran's lyrics on top of Marvin Gaye. And, like, you can fit it in, but...
Yeah, no, it is. They are really similar. It's but those three, those sort of four chords are used in, like, hundreds of different kinds of pop songs. And I feel like what Ed Sheeran was doing is kind of like a pop soul song, kind of influenced by that 70s sound, and sort of making it in his own kind of singer-songwriter-y kind of way. But, yeah, there are definitely similarities, for sure.
So what is a chord progression?
So a chord progression is literally just a string of chords that makes up the bulk of your favourite songs, essentially. So they're usually played by a guitar or a piano or a keyboard or some synths, depending on what you're into. And they're kind of the main, I guess, what we call the harmonic material that makes up the song. And that is what gives the support for a beautiful melody, for example. So it's really the chords that are supporting everything else that's going on in our favourite song. So they're a very unsung hero. They're very important, but not as cool as a melody. Not as cool as a rhythm, probably.
So chord progression is used in basically all pop songs.
Yeah, and not pop songs. Every genre will have their own set of chord progressions that kind of make it sound the way that it does. So metal may have, you know, special kinds of chords that make it sound like metal. Punk would be the same. Country, folk, all of those things have their own traditions, I guess, in the way that chords go together.
So, I mean, I suppose this is, I'm drawing a long bow here, but I feel like this is almost similar to copywriting parts of the human genome, for example. Like, we all have and use the same parts, don't we? Are chord progressions like a standard set of tools that songwriters draw upon to make, in this case, popular music?
Yeah, I love the way you phrase that. That's absolutely how I imagine them too. It's like this beautiful toolbox, and we open it up and there's all these beautiful things that makes pop music the way it is. And so chord progressions are some of those things. And because they're so familiar to us, and there's ones that we'll know even if we don't know that they have a name, they kind of hook the ear. They become familiar to us immediately. So, yeah, chord progressions are just one of those tools in the kit that makes really engaging pop songs.
We're chatting with Jadie O'Regan, lecturer in contemporary music at Sydney Conservatorium of Music, about the Ed Sheeran case. Now, Jadie, tell us a little bit about Hanson and Mbop in relation to trying to illustrate what the, you know, the chord progression is. Because, I mean, I'm not music. I did learn the piano, but I can't remember anything. And a lot of our listeners won't know a lot about music. So talk to us about Mbop.
Oh, the 13-year-old girl in me, Warren, is so happy. Like,
I knew it.
Let me tell you about my childhood crush. So when I was sort of writing, I wrote a little bit about, you know, the outcome of the Ed Sheeran trial, and basically talking about how pop has all these different kinds of progressions that we all know and love. Probably the most well-known are ones, what I would call the 1, 4, and 5, right? So anyone who's played a guitar, picked it up for the first time, sat down at a piano, they're the first three chords you learn, and it basically opens up a half of popular music to you, because they use those same 3 to 4 chords every time. So Hanson's Mbop is a great example of that. It has the same chord progression pretty much through the entire thing, but what changes are the lyrics, the melody, the rhythms, that kind of stuff. So that's what keeps their attention.
So let's have a listen.
So, yeah, go for it.
I hear it. It's that catchy part.
It is. Yeah, it goes all the way through. Yep, so it's the same chords as, like, Wild Thing. If you want to play Wild Thing, it's the same as, like, Louie Louie. It's all the same chords, just, you know, expressed in a different kind of way, in this case, through Taylor Hanson's very sweet baby voice there.
So we have to get you back to hear about your childhood fantasy. I reckon there's a great story in there as well.
Oh my God.
But why haven't all the other artists that have used, say, the same chord that Ed Sheeran was using, why haven't all the other artists been sued as well? Like, why Ed Sheeran?
Well, I mean, he's got the money.
Ah, so it's all about the money.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very high-profile artist. He's probably one of the biggest artists in the world. His music is very well known. He has, you know, he's in a pretty good spot because of how many hits he's had. He would be an interesting target for this kind of stuff. I think the chord progression thing and there not being a lot of court cases, I think it's because in general it's agreed upon that chord progressions are for everyone. They're just part of how pop music works. So it's very hard to make a case on saying, you know, you've stolen my chords when the history of those chords go back way beyond last century, do you know what I mean? So it's a very hard case to make, a very expensive mistake to make if you don't succeed. So I think it kind of keeps people from attempting what has happened with Ed Sheeran last week.
What does the ruling mean for pop artists from here on?
Well, I think it's a good result. I think it was the right decision, like whether or not, you know, you're a fan of Ed Sheeran or not. I think he was definitely in the right here. And hopefully it means that these kinds of cases, like, dwindle, like that it doesn't take up the time and expense of the courts to try and argue for these cases, which are so clearly just part of how we make the songs we love. They're part, like you said earlier, they're part of the toolkit. I think Ed Sheeran made the comment, it's like trying to copyright the color blue for an artist. We just use blue. Everyone knows we can use blue. It's for everyone. Chord progressions, they're kind of for everyone too.
JD, it's been a great chat. I feel very enlightened. And thank you so much for joining us on Georgia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.